New Year. 恭喜 发财. Thank you. One person reciprocated. Okay. And don't worry, I'm not asking for Lycee. I'm just saying, you know, Happy New Year. I hope everyone had a good holiday, a time where you spent it with your family. And this is the first year as a family with my baby daughter. She just turned one. So it was the first year where we actually went to Bailin, which is like you go to family, you spend a lot of time with family, you wake up in the morning and you go and gonghae fa choy. And it's so tiring. I didn't realize how tiring it was, but I'm sure many families, you probably relate, but even though it was so tiring, it was also a really meaningful time where we just were together 24-7, 3-4 days, we're just together all the time. So even though it was quite tiring, it was so nice at the same time. And also, happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Okay. And if you're married, you know, I know it's like a corporate holiday, but take this opportunity to just love on one another. As couples, we can never do enough of that to express our love to one another. As singles, I want to tell you, you're not alone. You have God. And it sounds funny, but it's true. And I even remember one of my, back in the day, this is like years ago, one of my Kangli brothers, he emailed like a bunch of church people, and he said, just invited everyone. It's like, who wants to come to lunch today? And for whatever reason, maybe it was just the timing of the email, but nobody replied. Or no one replied to my knowledge. And then he replied back, like, you know, later in the day. He's like, okay, I made a reservation for 4 people. It's myself, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it's kind of funny, but, you know, I know during Valentine's Day, sometimes we feel pressure from the world and we feel lonely, but you're not, right? You have the Father who is with you. So, happy Valentine's Day. And make use of that promo today where it's buy one, give one free for the coffee. So Pastor Sam is away today. Actually, he's away this weekend. And he's with his wife, Lisa, as well as our board member, Max, and also one of our women's ministry people. It's Belinda, or leaders. I don't know. I'm not sure. She's part of women's ministry, right? Okay, and anyway, so they're actually in the U.S. They're at Redding, California, and they're at Bethel. You guys heard of Bethel? Like Jesus Culture, Bethel. And the reason they're there is they're getting training to do this course for us at Solomon's Porch, and it's called Love After Marriage, right? And so we have all these discipleships, we have premarital, and we realize as our church has grown and the demographic is getting older, there's kind of a need for a discipleship for the married couples. So they're there just to receive the training, and soon we'll be able to launch it this year. And I think it kind of coincides with what we're doing with building the house as well. So I'm here today, and I get the opportunity to share. So if you would just pray with me. Father, Lord, we're just so grateful, you know, this time of the year, just so grateful, Chinese New Year, where we get to rest and spend time with family and those we love, Lord, and even Valentine's Day, even though it's a corporate holiday, you know, it's all about love, God. And Lord, we just thank you for the love that you have for us, God, that you came into our life. And that we can be so free and respond to you as well, Lord. And even today, Lord, we just want to open up our hearts to you. Just be open, Lord. And more than just be open, Lord, we just confess that we desire you, Lord. We need you in our life, Lord. We can't go about life on our own, Lord. Nor do we want to go about it alone, Lord. But we want to do it with you, Lord. So, Lord, would you just come and speak to us today? Use me, Lord. I humble myself, Lord, to be just a vessel to be used by you, Lord. Use me to just speak concisely and speak your heart as well, Lord. Let me can just convey your heart and your plans and your words today, God. We thank you, Lord, and we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this year's theme is building the house. And building the house, it kind of actually flowed from a series we did last year. And it was this pretty extensive series we did on sonship. And the reason we did such an extensive series is because we believe that being a son, that identity as a son, is so important for us in moving forward and building the house, right? So we also have this term called being the son of this house. And in that series, we talked about, you know, what it means to be a good son, right? And there's something called orphan spirit, where even though we have this inheritance from God that he loves us and wants to provide for us and take care of us and really let us be free, we operate as an orphan, like someone that has no inheritance, right? So we went extensively, and if you haven't had a chance to listen to that series, I encourage you to go online and just listen to the whole series. That way you have just a really good foundation. And you know, inherently, I think we all understand and we all want to be a good son, right? It's just like, oh, we know, it's the right thing to do. But the reason, really, what motivates us to be a good son is not because it's the right thing to do. It's actually because we have such a good father, right? Because he's so good, it's a natural response where we want to be a good son. So, who is this father? And yesterday at House Church, that question came up, right? Which is, do you know God as the Father? Do you see him in that way? And we got varying answers, right? It's like, oh, a little bit, but some people share, like, really, I don't know if I really see him as a father. I just see him just as God, right? And that's totally understandable, right? Because for many of us, the only, I guess, reference or model we have of what a father is our own earthly fathers, right? And my father's here. Hi, Dad. And I just want to share a little about our relationship growing up. And so my father, growing up, he was the youngest among the sons, and he had three older brothers, and of course, he had his father, and his father was a successful tailor, so he really respected his father, and I can say, you know, from our sonship series that we did, as like, what is a good son, and, you know, submission, and trust, as I was comparing and thinking about it, I think that was my dad growing up. He had such respect and reverence for not only his father, but even all his older brothers. And even to this day, he's such a good younger brother, right? I've never heard my dad talk bad about his brothers, and he just loves to help and serve them, like when they need help. He just, oh yeah, sure. And then, you know, they make plans, and to me, I'm like, oh, that's so inconvenient. But he just gladly just comes alongside them in relationship and really just submits to them. So that was my dad, I think, his childhood growing up. Whereas for my childhood growing up, I grew up in Toronto, so I had a Western education, and I grew up, and I went to this thing called, like, gifted school, whatever that means. And the way they go about teaching is, I think, a little different, right? They want you to have no fear when it comes to learning. They want you to just ask questions, and whatever you're interested, just fearlessly just learn and figure things out and just approach it openly, right? And I remember even, I think this was in grade four, I did, like, thinking back now, I'm like, oh, grade four, I can't believe I did this. But I, like, did a project on and a presentation in grade four on cystic fibrosis. Probably half of you don't even know what that is. It's like an illness, disease. And I even remember like there's a Dr. Lap Chi Choi, and he was the one who discovered the gene that causes it. So anyway, all to say, like, that was my learning environment. Whatever, you know, just go for it, ask questions, no fear. So given my Western education and teaching, you know, in some ways, my father and I, we clashed, right? Because he grew up in this upbringing where he was full of trust and submission to his father. And so when he told me, oh, son, do this, quite naturally, I would say, oh, why? Because that's what I've been taught in the Western, right? And he'd say, well, why? And then, of course, that would perhaps also hurt him because he's like, oh, why don't you trust me, right? Like, I'm telling you to do this. And then he'd be like, oh, you know, because I'm your father. So that's why you should do it. And then I'd, of course, respond with, oh, but why? So growing up, we actually clashed a little. And now we're all good because I think now I've, you know, matured and I understand his perspective. As a child, you're very self-centered, right? And it's not intentional, but all I see is my needs being met. And for many of us, we have similar experiences with our fathers, right? Where we have very different upbringings. Some of them, in my case, my father, I believe he had the best of intentions for me, but I wasn't able to receive his good intentions. Some of us are able to receive it. Some of us, we have fathers who have bad intentions, right? Or some of us, we didn't even grow up with a father. So if that's the case, how can we see God the Father, right? And it's so important for us to see and understand and receive the goodness and perfection of God the Father so we can respond, right? That's what I'm talking about. It's a response. So how can we do it? How can we know God the Father? And the answer is the Bible. So simple, the Bible. And I know how we perceive the Bible is, oh, it's this chore. You know, I got to read at least one chapter a day. I need to, you know, in 1 year, I'm going to work really hard and I'll hopefully get through the whole thing. Do the daily Bible plan, right? And it's good to be disciplined as well. But really what the Bible is, it's a love letter to us. And how I see it is, I know this sounds morbid, but if I only knew I had a year to live, or a week to live, maybe a year is better, a year to live, and I have a daughter right now who's one year old, what would I do? And this is what I would do. It's kind of like the movie Interstellar. If you've seen it, you'll relate, but I would make videos for her. I would make a video for her to watch, like, every year on her birthday. And for that year in her life, I would just share the wisdom I have for her and also share just my thoughts and feelings to her. You know, like, you know, she's entering high school, freshman, and I tell her, like, oh, you know, it's going to be awkward and you have all this pressure to fit in, but, you know, don't give in to that pressure. You know, you're already perfect and wonderfully made, just the way you are. You're special, you know. And I would share that with her. And then, of course, like, oh, don't trust boys, you know, stuff like that. But I would leave these messages for her so that I can sow into her life as well so that she would know my heart, right? And that's what the Bible is. That's what the Bible is. It's a love letter to us. And it's a shame sometimes we're like, oh, you know, I'm not into reading. It's like God's heart is on these pages for us, and we just, we're like, oh, I'm not into reading. I'm more of a video person, right, these days. So it's such a shame, but the Bible reveals to us who God the Father is. And I just want to share a few verses. But you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand and our ushers will give you one. So the Bible is a love letter to us. And if we just read it, they're just words, right? And I think sometimes we know the words, but we don't know it in our heart. But as you read the Bible, as you walk, walk in faith and pursue God, actually your experiences will align with the word, and it becomes real, right? And even though maybe perhaps in your earthly father you haven't experienced what a father is to the extent of God the Father, you can experience it through the word, right? So I just want to read a few verses. I'll just list them off. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love because he first loved us. See, God initiated. He pursued us. Matthew 6, and so that's where you should be turned to. Starting at verse 25, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body, as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, is thrown in the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Psalm 27:10. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. And there's so many verses that speaks of the Father and his love for us, right? Even verses of how he knew you even when you were in your mother's womb, how even the desires you have in your heart that you didn't even know he knows, that he knows to the very number of hairs that is on your head, right? We have an incredible Father. And just with what's listed, you know, he's a father who pursues you, who initiated. He's a father who will take care of your daily needs, right? You don't have to worry what to eat, what to drink, what to do that day. He has an incredible future that is planned for you. And he's a father who will never forsake you. Even if the closest people in your life, right, would forsake you and give up on you. And in this case, the verse refers to like our own parents. Even if your own parents would, our Father God in heaven will never, right? And if we can receive that truth of who the Father is for ourselves, like think about how free we would be. What do you have to worry about? You wouldn't worry about your future. You wouldn't worry about the present, right? You have the ultimate backup, which is God. He's always with you. And we need this revelation, right, of who the Father is. And then we can really respond and build the house. And when we have the revelation of how good our Father is, then we can also love each other freely, right? Because our good Father's already fully satisfied us in every way, that we can love each other freely. We can love our earthly parents freely. And we can also love our spiritual father, Pastor Sam, freely, right? And I think oftentimes the problem or the trouble we get ourselves into is we look at Pastor Sam, our spiritual father, and we have the expectation of him as an earthly father or even as God the Father, right? And he's not perfect. He cannot meet our needs like God the Father, right? And only through God the Father can we love our spiritual father, Pastor Sam, right? And I just want to share a little bit about Pastor Sam. Because as we're talking about building the house, you know, and being a son of the house and submitting to our leader, Pastor Sam, many of you guys maybe don't know him that well, or you've just started coming and you don't know who he is. So I just want to share a little bit about him as I've, you know, I've been in relationship with him for the past 12 years, living life, doing ministry together. And I know he seems like such a strong, cool guy, but he's actually quite a softie deep down. And firstly, I want to tell you that Pastor Sam really thinks so highly of everyone. Really, every single person, he doesn't see you as like a cup that's half empty, but it's half full, right? And he thinks so highly of everyone, almost to a fault, right? What I mean is, even like, you know, the people sometimes, he's like, oh, that person's so awesome, and I want to, you know, position them to succeed and raise them up. And in my head, I'm like, oh, are you sure? That person's, like, in my judgment, I'm like, oh, that person's kind of unreliable, kind of sketchy. I think they have ulterior motives. But Pastor Sam, he just sees their potential. And I think as a church, we need to come alongside of him to protect him and also protect his heart, because he just sees everyone so everyone's amazing in his eyes. And the issue sometimes with that is we don't realize he sees everyone like that. Or we don't realize he sees even us that way, right? The reason is he has this kind of interesting behavior. And I call it, he reverse slanders, right? And what that means is, you know what slandering is you talk bad behind people's back, right? But what Pastor Sam does is he talks good behind your back. he never tells us, like, oh, hey, you know, oh, Tyler, like, you're doing an incredible job with men's ministry, for example, right? Way to really step it up. But he'll tell everyone else that, right? And the pastoral staff has experienced this, all of us, especially like Pastor Nate. Like, for instance, you know, Pastor Nate, oh, so good, incredible worship leader, anointed, but he's never told Pastor Nate that. In fact, he'd be like, yo, man, I don't know about that song. Like, that's pretty much, that's the feedback you'll get. But when he's not with Pastor Nate and he's talking to others, and, you know, especially I've traveled with him to U.S. and I see his friends, and he's like, yeah, man, we have this incredible worship leader, Pastor Nate. He's the most anointed and so anointed and amazing heart and such an incredible voice. And then I go to see Pastor Nate. I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, man, Pastor, this is how PCM feels about you. And he's like, really? He's like, so surprised. And this even happened recently with Hyunsu, right? Because, you know, Pastor Sam went to SP Beijing to preach. And then he came back. He's like, oh, yeah, Pastor Hyunsu is doing an incredible job. He's really, you know, stepping it up. I really see him like almost in a different way. And then afterwards, myself, Pastor Nate, and Pastor Ricky, we went to Beijing to do their SP Beijing retreat. I'm like, oh yeah, I heard like PCM was, you know, so impressed. You know, you're really like, you know, stepping up, becoming the senior pastor, and you've really changed and the authority that you carry. And he's like, really? He has no idea. So the reason I'm sharing that is I think sometimes, kind of like what I shared with my relationship growing up with my father, is like sometimes they have such good intention, right? But sometimes we don't receive it. So I wanted to let you know that Pastor Sam has such intention and love for all of us, all of you. And I'm sharing this so that you'll know he loves us. He's so proud of you, right? And he wants to put you in a position to grow. He always says, I'm opportunity enthusiast, right? Which is, I want to put you in a position where you can experience God, right? And sometimes that's like, oh, you know, I feel like I want you to be, why don't you become a house church leader? Why don't you join this ministry? And sometimes we're like, what? Pastor Sam, why are you trying to make me do stuff? But he's not just delegating because stuff needs to get done. He actually loves you and wants you to succeed, right? And finally, I just want to share that Pastor Sam, I know he seems kind of scary, right? Because sometimes my house church people, they're like, you know, they're praying and they get this wonderful download about, you know, the church and like about building the house. And I'm like, oh, you should tell Pastor Sam, because they tell me. And I'm like, oh, you should tell Pastor Sam that. And they're like, oh, no. He's too scary. I'm like, really? He's not scary. You should do it. So I encourage them. And I know he seems all strong and he's like, oh, you know, the pastoral one is actually Pastor Nate. Right? So he's like, go to Pastor Nate. But actually, Pastor Sam is very pastoral, right? When you approach him in a one-on-one setting and you share your heart, share your brokenness, he listens, right? He doesn't just listen, but it feels like he really empathizes with what's going on and he walks through that difficult time with you, right? So Pastor Sam is pastoral. Even though he might deny it, he's very pastoral. So hopefully that's just a little insight of Pastor Sam, and hopefully that will make it easier also to submit to him. But just remember, it's not, you're not submitting because he's perfect, because he's not, but because we have this good father who's perfect, that we can just freely support and submit to our spiritual leader, Pastor Sam, as well. Amen? Amen. All right. So let's get started with the sermon. It's good. I know, I just pulled a Pastor Sam. So today, building the house. I was pretty good with time in the first service, so don't worry, even though it seems like it's taken a while to start. But building the house. So first question I want to ask you is, what are you? Are you a receiver? Are you a builder? Or are you a maintainer? So let me just go through quick what those things are. That's just the first point, by the way. And so first thing, are you a receiver? You know, that almost like, we're like, oh, I don't know. That's not me. But actually, being a receiver is really important. And it's really good, right? Because again, remember I said, it's until we realize that the goodness of God, then we can respond as sons. So in that same way, we need to receive before we respond, right? And that's why at SP, when we have newcomers who come, we have new Christians, or even just anyone who comes, whether even from a different church or different you know, background, even if you're Christian, when you first come, we just say, just receive, right? We say, you know, just receive, just go to house church, get fed, come to Sunday service, you know, just enjoy the worship, you know, just be, let God touch you and restore you, do growing in Christ, right? And just be discipled and just be fed, right? And that's part of the reason also for serving, we have this prerequisite. Part of it is, I guess, you know, quality control. But I think the other part is we want you to receive, right? So that way when you start serving, it's just a response, right? It's not because, oh, I should serve because, you know, it's the right thing to do. Or let me start serving because I've received so freely from God, from my brothers and sisters, that now I just want to return. I just want to respond. And, you know, again, in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us, right? It's always he initiates and we respond. And sometimes the problem, and so receiving is so important, but the problem sometimes is when we get stuck in receiving for too long and we become gluttonous Christians, right? Where it's all about us. It's like, oh, what is my purpose? What are my needs? And it even like morphs into not just like, what are my needs, but how should my needs be met, right? And this can manifest, you know, where we're very critical and judgmental without the love. And, you know, we'll say, oh, Pastor Sam, you know, even as he preaches, we might judge the way he, the example or illustration he uses. Or even house church leaders, like, oh, house church leader, you're not really giving me enough attention. And keep in mind, house church leaders, they're not like professionally paid house church leaders, right? They're just volunteers and they're just serving you, right? Out of love. And we've become so demanding, like, oh, you know, why aren't they giving me attention? How come they're not? They should have done this instead of that in the way they talk to me. Or even, this is like to get my AV team back, even like our AV team, the people who do PowerPoint, sometimes the slide's not on at the exact right second, or sometimes the lyrics are a little off and we're like, man, what's that AV team doing? Right? We get so upset. And that's actually, to be honest, that's the only time they get credit. When they're doing an amazing job, you won't notice them. But when they mess up, that's when you notice. And FYI, most AV teams, like the job that they're doing, it would be done by three people. Usually there's a dedicated camera person, a dedicated PowerPoint person, and then the person who's like controlling the switching between different video feeds. And we have one person doing that. So sometimes, yeah, they're like multitasking like crazy and they might miss a slide, right? But if you're so upset and you're like, what is this? I encourage you to be part of the solution. Join the AV team. And then we can maybe have 2-3 people on dedicated things, right? And when we're a gluttonous Christian, where all we're doing is receiving and receiving and receiving, it's not a good place to be. Not just for others, but even for yourself, right? Because you're never satisfied. You just want more and more and more. So don't be a gluttonous Christian. But keep in mind, the receiving part is so important. You could say it's the starting point for all of us. And it's a point that we also have to go back to constantly, right? You receive, and then, you know, you respond by serving, sharing God's love to other people, and then you need to receive again. So that brings me to what are you? Are you a builder? So a builder is someone who was a receiver. A builder is someone who responds to the goodness of God and desires to serve and seek after his kingdom. A builder is someone that is not self-centered, but God-centered. I think that's the key, right? A builder is someone who's not self-centered, but God-centered. And sometimes I hear about people's desire to serve. You know, they do GIC or, you know, just they're so blessed. So they want to respond and they say, they come to the pastoral staff and say, hey, I would love to serve. And for the most part, we always try to put you in an opportunity where it best matches what you're good at. Or what you're passionate about. Because we want church to run effectively and efficiently as well. But sometimes there's an incredible need at church. And best example is recently Noah's Ark has exploded. Noah's Ark is our Sunday school ministry. We've transitioned from 2 services to 3 services and just an explosion of kids. And at that time, we were really lacking in teachers, right? So, of course, people come to us and they say, oh, I would love to serve. And we're like, oh, great. Timing is perfect. You know, we need teachers for Noah's Ark. And some of them are like, oh, great, I love to serve. And then some people are like, oh, I don't know if that's my calling. And, I mean, that sounds pretty legit, right? Because we want to do what we're called to do. But let me just give you this example. You know, example would be my wife she slaved away for a huge family dinner, and she single-handedly cooked for the whole family. I have a huge family. It's like 20 people. And she single did the turkey, spent the whole day, woke up really early in the morning, and just cooked, and served us all. And we had an amazing time. And everyone's gone home. And at the end of the night, I see my wife, and she's just starting to, like, you know, clear the table. And I see she's so tired, so exhausted. So I want to do something for her. So I say to her, honey, oh, you're so tired. I want to do something really nice for you. I want to take you out tomorrow to a Michelin star, 3 Michelin star restaurant. I want to treat you. And then she says, oh, thank you. That'd be great. But you know what? Right now, I'm just so tired right now because I've been up. I'm so tired. Actually, could you help me with just clearing the table and doing the dishes, right? And then I responded, well, honey, honestly, I'm not really good at that. In fact, I don't really enjoy it, and I don't know if it's my calling to do these dishes. And at which point, I mean, it's kind of a funny, but it's quite obvious that you can see I'm very self-seeking, right? And even though I have a desire to help, it's actually not helpful at all, right? And if I really loved, right, it wouldn't have strings attached to what I would do for her, right? And I think in that same way as we serve, I mean, let the Holy Spirit speak to you, especially those who have been receiving and you feel called to serve. And I know some of us are like, we want this really grand purpose, right? But maybe just come, right? Just come to serve without strings attached and just ask us, hey, what do you need, right? Because in Matthew 6:33, it does not say, seek first his kingdom and your purpose in life that makes you most satisfied. And all these things will be given to you as well. It is just seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to him as well. So as we build the house, let's not make it about ourselves. Let's do our best and do the maximum for God and in the way we serve others. Let's not let inconvenience and suffering dictate our satisfaction, as we're already fully satisfied, right? God has already come. He's already revealed his goodness, and we just like, oh, you've already given me everything I need. So we just respond. And really this is a back and forth relationship that happens between being a receiver and then builder, right? Basically, we receive, then we respond by building. And as we build, then we go back to receiving so we know why we're building, right? Because sometimes after a long time, we forget why we're building. And it's just this back and forth place where we be. And that's relationship. That's being dependent on God. And that brings me to the third, what are you? Are you a maintainer, right? And a maintainer is usually someone who was a builder. So it's a builder who has lost their motivation of why they build, and they haven't gone back to receiving, right? They've just constantly building, relying. Initially, God is their strength, but eventually they forget to receive again, go back to God, and now they're relying on their own strength. And now their motivation is about earning. Actually, it's like getting things done. And this can be anyone, right? Usually it's someone who is of some leadership position, right? It can be a ministry leader, house church leader, and it can even be pastors as well, right? Because we're given so much to do, this responsibility, and we gotta give. And even during ministry time, even if, you know, Holy Spirit's like, hey, I want you to receive, son. And we're like, oh, but I got to pray for people. And we don't receive. We just go and pray and give. And before you know it, you forget why. Why you're even doing it. And it's more about responsibility. And we really rely on our own strength. And it's about status quo. It's about doing the minimum rather than the maximum. And we just want to get the job done. It's about not inconveniencing ourselves so we have maximum comfort. And the satisfaction really comes from our circumstances where, oh, if I can minimize and like be the most efficient as possible, then we're happy, right? And this is not a good place to be. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you right now if that's where you're at, right? And I think we can all recognize we don't like being in this circumstance of being a maintainer. And I want to submit to you, if that's where you're at, don't step down. Don't quit, right? Because you're like, oh, I don't want to serve I don't want to serve out of my own strength. So you're like, so I'm not going to serve, right? The issue is not that you're serving or have these responsibilities that God gave you. It's the motive in which you're doing it. You've forgotten what your first love is, right? Your first love is what initiated. Your first love is what motivated you. And I think you just really need to humble yourself and just be weak and just go before the Lord and say, Lord, I recognize I've been working on my own strength and I can't do it anymore. And that which part you receive. And let me tell you, we have such a good Father. He's going to come, right? When we call out to Him, He comes. And that kind of leads to my second point is, how do you build? How do you build? And it's very simple. There's two steps. The first step is you find out what God's will is. Step one, find out what's God's will. And we all want God's will, right? Because we know it's the best. In Isaiah 55, 8, 9, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We want God's ways, right? Because we know it's the best. And we're smart. We want the best investment possible. And we inherently want to be part of something that's greater than ourselves, right? I mean, that's why, I'm not talking about even just Christians, but all, like mankind, that's why we attempt the impossible, climb Mount Everest, you know, and you know, fly to the moon, right? And as Christians, same thing. We want to experience God's plans, not just our plans. We don't want to accomplish what we already know we can accomplish. We want to experience something so much greater and bigger than ourselves. But as we find out what is God's will, we got to take an honest look at our heart that we are actually seeking after His will. Oftentimes, we go for status quo. We go for the minimum, right? Whatever is the most convenient, yet gets the job done. And, you know, fasting would, I'm just using fasting as an example, right? We had this incredible opportunity at the beginning of the year, and for many of us, or some of us, our approach might be, oh, what's the easiest thing that I can fast, right? Maybe it's beef, just beef, right? Or maybe it's like, oh, but you don't understand, I really enjoy beef. Or it could be, you know, I want to fast hard liquor. So it's like, oh, I can't drink hard liquor, so now I can only drink, I don't even know if this is term, soft liquor? Is that a term? No? Or just beer, right? Or something like that. And it's about convenience. But at the same time, we shouldn't be overzealous either and go for maximum difficulty, right? Because when you do that, it's not really about God, it's about you, right? And we see that with Peter, right? And we see I still see him as a really wonderful model, right? And where he just steps out in faith. And even with, you know, the walking on water, he's in the boat. And I almost imagine when Jesus gave the opportunity to walk on water, he like jumped out of the boat and like started walking. And in this instance, it worked out because I believe that's what Jesus wanted as well. But then you see his overzealous nature in other circumstances, you know, where Jesus is just sharing with the disciples and just pouring out his heart about how he's going to be captured by the Romans and how he's going to, you know, be basically he's beginning his journey to be crucified and resurrected. And Peter, in his overzealousness, is like, Jesus, no way. No way. I'm not letting you do that. I'm going to give my life to you. I'll sacrifice my life to even, like, stop the people from taking you. And of course, that would not be God's will, right? If anything, that would be devil's will, right? And God's will was for Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, to be resurrected, right? So we have to make sure, really, when we're after God's will, that it is God's will, not what we think should be God's will. And then the second step is we got to make sure that we do it with God, And I think for most of us, this is where we get into trouble. Pastor Nate shared 2 weeks ago about his experience with building IKEA furniture and how he quite enjoyed it. And I'm also someone who loves to tinker and build stuff. I can never leave something alone. I'm always like switching it up and building stuff. And I remember as a kid, I loved Lego. I loved it. And I remember this is probably like young, like primary school, I received this huge set of Lego, and it was a Lego set of a semi-truck. A semi-truck is kind of like Optimus Prime, what he becomes, and he's pulling, you know, a big freight. So that's what a semi-truck, and this semi-truck was probably like this big. It was really detailed and complicated. You could like open the hood, and you could see the engine, and the wheels turned, and if you look under, even as the wheel turns, like everything was really detailed, right? And I would just sit there. I would spend, I think it was like 3-4 hours. I just sit there, and then I completed it all, right? And the key to completing it is the instruction manual. And I remember sometimes, like, I'm following the instruction manual to the T, and then sometimes I would realize, hey, something's not adding up. And then basically I had to backtrace my steps. And I realized I missed like one little step, like one little piece I didn't put on, and I had to like go back and fix it. And I just imagine now, like if I didn't have an instruction manual, how difficult would it be to accomplish this Lego set? It probably would have taken, if all I had was the picture on the box, I don't know. It might take weeks. Maybe it's impossible, right? And that's what we do, right? God gives us a Lego set to build. And he's saying, here, build this Lego set. And we're so happy. Thank you, Lord. I wanted to build something. I had no idea. And you're giving me a Lego set to build. And then we take that Lego set. And we run off with no instructions, with no, we don't even ask for God's help, and we start building this Lego set. And of course, it's so hard. It's so difficult. We're spending so much effort. We're using all of our effort to build this Lego set, and it's so hard. And more times than not, we probably just give up, right? And then we give up. And then we ask, we're like, God, why? Why did you give me this Lego set? I thought you wanted me to build this. And of course, the reason is because we decided to build it ourselves with no instructions. And if you think about it, it's pretty ridiculous, right? We desire this God-sized plan that is impossible for us to accomplish on our own. And that's why we want it. Yet, once we receive this God-sized plan, we try to accomplish it with our own strength and power. And that's how we get in trouble, and that's what, burnout, if you guys heard. That's how we burn out. We're trying to accomplish something that only God can do with our own unlimited strength, right? In Jeremiah 29:11, I shared about it. That verse earlier, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and hope. So God has a plan for you. But in verse 12 to 14, it says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I think part of this verse is to, hopefully we can take this verse and just have a good relationship where even though we receive God's blessing, we would still respond, not just, oh, thank you for the blessing, peace out, but we would receive that blessing, but also be thankful and respond and desire him, right? But I think even more than that, it's just what I shared about accomplishing God's will with God, right? Is he gives us our purpose. And if anything, at this point, this is when you should really cry out to God, right? He's like, oh, Andrew. Andrew, I want you to do this impossible task. And at that point, if anything, Andrew should be like, okay, what? You want me to do this? That's crazy. Lord, help me. And he cries out to him, help me, help me, help me, right? And that's exactly what is going on here. He says, after he gives you the future and hope, it says, then you will call upon me and come pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And the best part is, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, right? So how do we build? First step, we need to find out what is his plan, what is his will for us. But secondly, and this is the most critical part, is we need to do it with God. And that brings me to final point. Okay for time. And so what are we building? What are we building? In Matthew 6, 19 to 21, it says, do not store up yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It says to store up your treasures in heaven. So what can we really take with us to heaven? Can you take your Facebook likes with you? Can we take our Facebook pictures? Right? And I know for like, especially parents, like they love taking pictures, especially my wife. Is she here? Okay. But she loves taking pictures every meal. And even like every time we're doing stuff with Danielle, it's like click, 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 click. And not only is she like taking pictures, she makes me like, I can't just enjoy my time and she's I gotta like pose. And then if I don't pose, it's like, nope, so angry with me. And all to say, you know, we have this like, we buy backup hard drives and archive photos, but even these pictures, we can't take them with us to heaven. You know, can we take our TV shows, our Korean dramas, PS4, Golden State Warriors, basketball, you know, our phones, even the chairs you sit on, even these nice pillars, this building, can we take all these things with us to heaven? No, we can't take any of it. And I'm not saying these things are bad, but I'm just saying we need to have priority, right? And the only thing that we can take with us to heaven is actually our relationships, right? And I just imagine as we're talking about building the house and we're building and, you know, a brick, right? And as we building the house, laying down each brick, right? I imagine each brick is us, right? That's what we're building up, each other. And even me being here, up here today, you know, being pastor, taking care of the young adults, and to, I always, even being married, being a married man and having a daughter, it's all because of God and because of what God has done, but also what God has done in other people, other brothers and sisters who have sowed into my life. And that's why I'm up here today. If not for them, I would not have this opportunity to respond. And even as I, just to share a few examples, when I first came to SB, I felt this desire to start an accountability because I read it in Purpose Driven Life. And they talked about accountability. I didn't even know really what it was, but I said, oh, you should do it because it's good. And I talked to, at that time, my friends, Tom and Stevie. And we were then like 24, 25. And I was like, oh, we should start accountability. You guys want to do it? And then out of the blue, Tom says, oh, actually, we have this brother. His name is Jung. Some of you may know him. And he actually felt a call to help us start an accountability and lead it. And at that time, Jung, he was like the worship leader. He was older. And we were like young, the youngins. It was almost like we're the freshmen and he's the senior. So I was a little surprised that he would take this time and effort. But because he did that, it really instilled into us the importance of accountability, right? And at that time, we did this book called Finishing Strong. And in that book, there's a statistic that talks about if you take 10 born-again Christians who sincerely give their life to the Lord and say, Lord, you're my Lord and Savior. I want to just do whatever you will with me. So people who are sincere in committing their life to the Lord, they have this statistic that among 10, 8 of them will not finish strong. That means by the end of their life, only 2 of them have still been committed to living the life with God. And that like blew my mind, because I was like, oh, we got to be humble. I got to recognize I can't do this on my own. I need my brothers. I need a community to help me in my walk. And so yeah, Jung, he invested into us, right? And then I think of another situation where I just broke up with my, at that time, ex-girlfriend. And I was like so sad and so messed up. And at that time, my wife, well then not my wife, but Janie and this friend of ours, Stanley, they actually, for whatever reason, my accountability was not available at all. Like, they were just not there. Not because they didn't want to be, but I think they were, I don't know why. And then basically Stanley and Janie, they after, I think it was a Bible study, they took me out to dinner and they just let me pour out my frustration and my hurts. And, you know, they could have just been like, oh, I'm so tired. Right? It's late. I just want to go home, watch some Korean dramas. I need some alone time and my time. But they chose to sow into me, right? And from them, I learned like what loyalty is. Like, Stanley is such a loyal guy. He was so loyal that I couldn't even be mad at my girlfriend or ex-girlfriend at the time. Because he was so angry, I had to always tell him to forgive her. I'd be like, listen, seriously, Stanley, I'm totally fine now, but you gotta forgive her, man. But because of that, I really received this sense of almost unconditional loyalty, right? And so even with my friends, like, even the way I'm with P-Sam, it's like, and P-Sam's so loyal too, right? I have this, like, sometimes I think maybe overzealous loyalty. And then also Annie and Sarah. I don't know if you know, Annie is Pastor Sam Kim's wife. And then Sarah is Stanley's wife. And these are these two sisters who really sowed into me when I first became a Christian. And they would, I remember it was so fun, right? We would just get together, we'd read the Bible, and then I asked them questions, and then they would ask me questions. And we just talked about God and shared testimonies. And it was so fun, right? And now looking back, you know, both Annie and Sarah at that time, they were actually unemployed. They had no job. And I think for many of us, when we have no job, we're so focused on ourselves. Like, oh, I need to figure out my plan, right? I can't invest in others. I need to figure out what I need. But they didn't do that. Actually, I never even, only now I realize, oh, they were jobless, and yet they sowed into me so much, right? And I'm just so thankful, right? So not self-seeking. And there's many people, right? It's not just these people. There's countless people who have sowed into my life. And without those people, without God, I would not be up here today to share with you. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be married either. And this sounds funny. I always say to my house church, like, you know, and this is true. Sometimes at nighttime, I'm just like reflecting on my life. And I'm like, I can't believe I'm married. And I've been married since 2011, I think. But even then, I'm like, I can't believe I'm married. And now I have a child. And I'm always so grateful, right? And I recognize it's all God. And without God, without the people God has placed in my life, I would not be the man I am today. And if you met me 15 years ago, you'd be shocked. And you can just ask my parents what I was like 15 years ago. So if I could invite the worship team up. Let's close our eyes. And I know, you know, just to finish on the last point of what we're sowing and what we're building is each other. And I know in Hong Kong, where it seems like it's so fast-paced, there's so much to do, sometimes we lose sight of really what we're trying to build and what really matters. And it's the people around you. And for many of us, where we are today is because of what people have sowed into our lives. And, you know, everyone who sowed into my life, I want to thank you. And because of that, now I am also, you know, motivated to sow into God's kingdom and build this house. And I just feel like right now, I want to give an opportunity to just receive for all of us. Sometimes we've forgotten about our first love. We've forgotten where our strength comes from. And it comes from God, right? And He's so good. And even now, you know, if you haven't received or gone before the Father in humility and weakness, just know as you go before Him that He's desiring you right now. He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to receive Him. And that's because you're His child. And He's an amazing Father who will never forsake you. As worship team leads, just let the Holy Spirit minister to you.
I can ask us all just to close our eyes. During P. Kenny's message, he talked about brick and mortar and building of a house. And when he said that, I kind of saw a vision. And the reason why I want you guys to close your eyes is because I kind of need you to imagine it with me, for you to understand what I believe God is speaking to each of us. I want you to imagine just a large field, very empty space. And I want you to imagine that God is starting to dig this big hole into the middle of this field. And then what he does is he starts putting in beams, you know, reinforced steel bars, all these sort of things, and he starts pouring concrete into this hole. And what God is doing is he's setting a foundation. And you know the word, when Jesus talks about if the house is built on this rock, it's going to last. And that's kind of the word that I'm getting. But what I kind of want you guys to imagine is this, right? Once Jesus lays a foundation, in order for there to be a church or a house or anything, bricks are actually needed. And this is where my vision comes in. I'm gonna pray first. I'm going to ask God to show you who you are and where you belong in this place. And then I'm going to explain the vision to you, okay? And so, Lord, Father, right now I ask in Jesus' name, Lord, will you open every eye that is in this place? That in their minds, God, that they see themselves the way that you see them. And God, as I explain this vision that I believe is from you, God, that you will start showing each and every single one of us where we fit into this vision. And so right now I ask, Lord, will you silence, Lord, any voice that is not of you? And God, I even ask that you'll silence our own voices in our own minds, God, that are disbelieving of who you are, or maybe disbelieving of what you've called us to be as a church or as a body. And that, Lord, we will humble ourselves before you so that we will build into your church. And so what I see in this vision is this. Jesus has laid the foundation. He's poured the concrete. The beams are ready. And now whatever is going to be built is going to be built. Now I want you to imagine Christ as the builder walking up to you. Okay, there's already some things. You know, PSAM's already set. You know, obviously Jesus is the cornerstone. PSAM's already set at one of this place. You know, he's a brick. In this place, right? Pastor Kenny, he's a brick. He's already laid there. P. Nate, he's a brick. I'm a brick, right? All these sort of things. And once we've been laid there, I see this vision of Jesus pouring mortar over these bricks. And as I was praying, Jesus revealed to me that this mortar was the Holy Spirit. I saw that P. Sam, his shape, he had some jagged edges on him. And when you put P. Nate next to him, there were some things that really didn't fit. But then the Holy Spirit made it fit together. And then he put Kenny next to him. And then there were some jagged edges on Kenny as well. And it didn't really fit. And then the Lord poured more Holy Spirit and it fit. Now I want to imagine God coming to you and saying, "You are a brick. I want to finish this house. I want to build this house into the most magnificent place where people can come to know me. And I want you to be a part of it." Now, I want you to imagine Jesus picking you up as a brick and moving you towards a structure. Maybe the foundation's already been laid, and maybe he placed you on top of PSAM or on Kenny or whatever the case may be. But there's a significance is this, right? There's a foundation laid by Christ. There is bricks on the base laid by the pastoral staff. But unless you guys also come along and be bricks with us, there is no church. There's not going to be any foundation for the next person to become a brick on top of that. And the picture I started seeing was that God had called each and every single one of us to have a space. But as there were people who maybe felt like they weren't feeling at home, or they felt like, you know, they didn't want to do this or whatnot, there started being holes in this church. And eventually the church was incomplete. And so I believe there's two things God's saying to us. Is one, you belong to this church. I don't know how you feel. I don't know what the things have been going into your heart is, or maybe some of the lies, or whatever the case may be, but I want you to know you belong to this church, right? And especially if you're a member of SP and you consider yourself a member here, you belong to this church. And without you, this church will never be finished. Without you, there'll be pieces missing that it'll make us incomplete. It'll make us a body that is incapable of being as effective as we could be if we were finished with you alongside of us. And I think this is really important for you here because I want you to know there's an invitation not just by the pastoral staff, but by God for you to come and join in His work. And so this is why I believe it's really important for you to see yourself as not just a person coming, but as an actual brick that builds on top of this church. And if you're not in your place, somebody else who comes cannot be in their place. Now, the other word I believe God is speaking to us is this. You may feel like that maybe some of the gifts you have may not fit this church. Well, I believe that's why God showed me the mortar of the Holy Spirit. I believe, first of all, there's a part of it that's a lie that's telling you you cannot serve here or you are incapable of serving. But the beautiful thing about having Jesus as the builder and the Holy Spirit as a mortar is it doesn't matter what shape you think you're not or you are or you fit or you don't, Holy Spirit will make you fit. It just requires that you are willing to fit. And so I believe God's going to start speaking to you. And I'm going to pass it back to Pastor Kenny. I think God has been speaking to some of you guys to be a brick in this house in a certain way. And I believe you have a choice to make. And as a pastor and as a brother, I really hope you come and be that brick. Because we need you. As a staff, we can't hold this place up. Not by ourselves. As those who've been laid down as bricks before you, who've been serving, they can't hold this place up forever. And in order for God to continue to build higher and higher and higher, He needs more and more bricks. And so I believe God is already speaking to some of you already. And so I'm going to ask you to do something. And, you know, this is something we always do at retreat, right? And we don't necessarily do here. But I want to ask you to make a commitment to God, right? Not to me as a pastor, not to be Kenny, not to P. Sam. But I want you to receive what God is speaking to you. But to make a commitment and to say, Lord, I want to be a part of this building project. Because I recognize that without me, the church won't be as beautiful. And it won't be the same. And so I'm going to ask God to start revealing this to you. And as the worship team leads us again, I'm sorry I've been speaking for way too long, but I want you to understand that you are a part of this church. And without you, we are an incomplete body. And so, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for my friends that are here. I believe there are many in this place, God, that want to be a part of this great vision of becoming not only in this church, but this great work of kingdom purpose, Lord. But maybe they're saying, I don't know how. I don't fit. I'm not a brick that seems like it fits the mold or whatever the case may be. Well, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name right now you release your Holy Spirit over them and reveal to them, God, that not only are they important and that they belong, but alongside you, the mortar, God, they can't fit. And they will become the exact brick that in the exact place that this church needs. And so, Lord, I pray that you're going to fill them with so much love, God, that they realize that they're giving of themselves a response to you. Not because they're forced to, but just because they say, Lord, you love me so much, I want to. And so in some ways, actually, too, I kind of want to just open up the space. And P. Kenny, I hope it's okay, right? But if you feel that call to become a brick, please come. Please make that commitment. Not for me, not for P. Sam or anyone else, but because I believe God is speaking to some, I believe He's speaking to a lot of people here. But I believe the act of coming to the altar is saying, God, I'm giving myself to you. We're willing to do this at retreats. Let's do this every Sunday. Let's do this now, today. Let's build this house together. Is that okay? Yeah? Thank you.
let's just rise to our feet. And I know what Pastor Ricky just shared probably really resonated with a lot of us. And if that's you, just, you know, encourage you just to come to the front and just continue pray into just being a builder. And I also feel some of us, we're just really having a tough time receiving as well. And I think that's been resonating on your heart as well. And for those, I really have a heart to pray for you after service. So if that's you and you're just like, oh man, it's so hard to receive and I know I need it and I want it, but even now I don't know if I really feel comfortable putting myself out there because it's just so hard. So I just encourage you after service to just come up. I really have a desire to pray for you. So let's worship. Yes, Father, Lord, we just thank you for who you are and just for revealing yourself to us. God, you're such a good Father, Lord, and because of your goodness, we can just be so free, God, and free to just worship, free to serve and respond to you, Lord. I just pray for everyone here today, Lord, that your goodness would be revealed to us, that your love, God, that we could experience it, Lord, especially those who it's been so long, Lord, where they've really had a chance to receive from you. They've forgotten, Lord, their first love, you, God. Even now, Lord, just minister to them. I feel like God's just, he's just saying, I love you. He's saying, I love you. I love you. Yes, Lord. Lord, and we just want to offer this year to you and this year of building the house. We're so excited to be part of this theme and this vision that you have for us. We look forward to all that you're going to do this year, Lord. And I just pray for a church that, you know, this theme of building the house and being a son, Lord, that we would be united, Lord, as brothers and sisters, that we would really sow into one another, Lord, be selfless, that we would love you and love one another, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So I encourage you guys to come up if you desire prayer. Myself and the pastoral staff would love to pray for you. We also have a well team that would love to heal you or just pray for you. There's refreshments outside. Have a great week.